This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Ooh,
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin'? How we doing today?
Good, if I could get my headphones on.
That's all right. I'll just talk to Grape Nuts over there.
Yeah. Grape Nuts.
Sabra.
I got roasted this morning by Dirt and Sprague for that, too.
Well, hey, I mean, you're going to come, you come correct, son.
You campaigned for that, and you got elected.
Your top five cereal choices, it continues to be the controversies here. And I do understand it is your top five.
Yes.
It is, and that is your personal preference.
I'm not asking anybody else to adopt that top five as their own personal top five.
And look, I will say this. Cereal choices and sexual preferences. We don't kink shame here, right? We don't. That's right. A motto of this show. I'm not going to sit here and tell you your list is not to you, but I'm going to judge you on this, Rust. Again, how I feel about you.
Oh, no, you can judge.
How I feel about you does not change.
This is not a judgment-free zone.
My opinion of you has changed with your top five cereal list and having grape nuts at number three.
I wish I would have had a chance this morning to respond to this texter.
Yeah,
who checks in about it during, at the end of Dirt and Sprague. The fact that a grown man is ranking cereals is just plain dumb.
Whoa!
You guys talking about the rankings might be just as bad.
Whoa!
Sorry, cereal talk by anyone over 10 is dumb.
No.
Or you're a stoner.
Lighten up, Francis.
That
is aggressive.
No way, man.
Or who peed in his Cheerios.
Mm. Well, that's cereal talk again.
Yeah.
All right. And that listener's going to be very disappointed during the summer. Because
oh, boy. Listicle season, baby.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, not every day's
You're
a gem. Not every day's a gem in June, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gets a little dry.
Yeah.
You got leftovers. You got to reheat every now and then and add a little grape nuts to them.
There we go.
Are there any grape nuts adjacent recipes?
Well, somebody texted in yesterday that when they were in elementary school, they used to sprinkle grape nuts when somebody would puke in the hallway. So I don't know.
Is it like kitty litter?
Because it would absorb it. So, I mean, is that a recipe that you're looking for?
Bro! Oh, God! I can just imagine walking into an auto body shop and there's just like empty boxes of grape nuts. They're like, it does better than kitty litter. You wouldn't believe it.
Seems like it'd be more expensive to go that way. But.
You know,
it's more eco-friendly.
You know, I don't know.
Oh, God, it's great.
Okay. Well, we have a new pope. Well, the Catholics.
USA! USA! USA!
Yeah, our first American pope is here. We have got, he's out of Chicago, so you know he loves the Bears. What if he doesn't like the Bears?
Well,
wait.
We'll have a new pope then very soon.
Does that mean this is the Bears' year?
Mm.
Pope Leo the 14th. I like this. And thank you, NFL, because had it not been for the National Football League and our Super Bowls being in Roman numerals, I would have had no idea that he is Leo the 14th, but it was really quick. I was able to decipher that XIV in a hurry. Leo the 14th, Cardinal Robert Prevost, has been elected Pope, and he has chosen the name Pope Leo the 14th. He's 69.
Nice.
There we go. I was expecting that. That he's over there in La La Land.
I'm socialing.
He's over there in La La Land. It only took 2 days before the white smoke came out of the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, no, I'm no Catholic or anything, but I was surprised by that. It seemed quick.
That is quick. It is not the fastest that has ever happened, but they did 5 votes, took 2 days, and they're like, hey, let's go here. 5 of the last 6 of these conclaves have happened within 3 days or less. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, okay. This was 2 days, 4 votes. That's pretty quick. Efficiency.
Yeah.
Now, that got me wondering.
If only we could get our government that efficient.
Well, we still seem to be back in the days of Pope Gregory the 10th, right after Pope Clement the 4th with our government. I went and I looked up the longest conclave.
Okay.
Any guesses?
There's been a couple that took weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 weeks?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure there have been. No. Between Pope Clement the 4th and Pope Gregory the 10th, you would be you'd be looking at 156 weeks there, Bob.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. From 1268 to
3 years?
1271.
Wow.
Well, I mean, think about it.
Well, that's also when the Pope had... was maybe the most powerful human on the planet.
Yeah, back then, like, they were just sitting there like, they didn't have anything better to do.
Well, they were right in the middle of Vietnam there, too. I mean, not geographically, of course, but...
In 1268?
Yeah, you're...
I thought you meant, December of 68 to December of 71.
No, I'm talking the year...
Like 1,000 years ago.
1268 to 1271.
800-some years ago. Gotcha.
Yeah. They didn't have anything better to do. And they're like, hey, we came from a long ways away.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get this thing right. Now I got to know how long Pope Gregory the 10th was.
That period of time, you're literally talking about being gently removed from the siege of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the Crusades. Like, that's when I said that, you're talking about like the Roman Empire church-wise. Not the actual Roman Empire, but like the Papal Empire was maybe at its peak.
All right. It took them 3 years to name him the Pope. Mm-hmm. He was the Pope for 5.
Yeah. Those life expectancies were a real nightmare back then.
He's like, come on, man. What are we doing here?
Cut down in his prime.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. He's like, I've been waiting 3 years for this. 5 years later, he gone.
Yeah.
He gone. I'm imagining that's a good run back then, though.
Yeah.
You know, he died between, nobody knows, 65, 66 years old, I guess. An educated guess.
I mean,
how long
late
that.
60s is pretty good back then.
Dude, yeah. he was living that good life.
That was
man.
A regular centenarian darn near.
Yeah. Yeah. Hot damn. So, yeah, there's hot Pope news. People get very into the Pope.
I think my favorite tweet I saw today so far,
but
Chicago produced a Pope before a quarterback that could throw for over 4,000 yards.
Oh, the Bears.
And now we got this one. Now he's the Pope.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Truly great stuff.
Yeah, this is something.
Do they have like a papal meal? You know, like everybody has like their like.
They're not death row inmates.
Well, no. I'm talking about like, you know, when you win the Masters, you come back and you have your Masters meal.
Oh,
like,
that's
you
a good question.
The menu. Like when you're a newly anointed Pope, does that mean like, are we gonna get like some
chicken Milanese or something?
I was thinking maybe we'll just go full sandwiches with what's the Gardeniero that their own special one that they have in Chicago. I can never remember what the hell it's called. What they put on the sandwiches, their little
Jardiniere?
Pepper, their little pepper mix.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Little sausage and peppers.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea. Maybe I have no idea what they're called.
Maybe he just goes straight hometown and goes for a good old Chicago beef.
Yeah, I would say a little Chicago beef with a pepper mix. That's what I'm thinking.
We're gonna have a hot dog.
No ketchup.
We're going deep dish pizza. Some Malort.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Italians would lose their mind over the deep dish. Pizza in Italy, you need like a micrometer to measure the crust. It's very, 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 very thin crust. That might start a new conclave. That's like an affront to God to have deep dish pizza over there.
Yeah, that's
the lasagna.
The Napolitano. Oh,
man. Yeah.
Man, I like deep dish pizza. I've come around to Detroit style pizza too.
Yeah, no, Detroit style pizza when you get like the not burnt but brown crusted cheese on the edge that gives it the solidity. Yeah. It's a banger.
Yeah, boy, we've really. I feel like over the last 20 years, all of the different variations of pizza have really come to light. Like we always used to know that there was New York and Chicago style pizza.
A little Lou Malnati's. Versus Sbarro, right?
yes, my that bright New shining beacon of deep
My favorite
pizza.
New York slice.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. I feel like over the last 20 years, though, it's really come to light, and we've really amplified, like, everybody's like, wait a minute. Did we have different kind of pizza in places? Mm. Like, there is a Northwest-style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There is Connecticut-style. There's Detroit.
What's Connecticut style?
Connecticut is like a crisper crust.
Is that like the drier crust?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, and it's a bit more snooty because they drive into town for work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Here, let me.
It comes with just sarcasm.
It's a unique thin crust pizza, typically coal-fired. Characterized by charred crust and limited use of melting cheeses like mozzarella.
Okay.
Hmm. That makes sense. So light cheese. Yeah. So there's a lot. And then
but
obviously.
You get the darker spots on the bottom, but you also get like the whiter spots too.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
right. No, that's a really good summer pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
Who is like the home of the wood-fired pizza?
The Rock.
Well, yeah,
that is a place, the Rock Wood Fired Pizza. Yeah,
but I mean, like, who
claims it?
Who
what
claims
region
that?
Claims it?
Yeah,
huh?
Because the wood fired pizza, it is like, especially if you're really into it and you do like the hickory or the cherry, like you use the wood like that adds.
I feel like that lends more to the like to the Neapolitan style.
Yeah,
the quick cook, you know, the one it's in there for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Google AI is, they didn't help me there.
Nothing.
Because it's like, they say Northwest, but that's just not true.
I mean, we do a lot of wood-fired pizza stuff up here, but.
Yeah, we do. Oven and Shaker is a hoity-toity one.
Yeah, my buddy owned one out in Newburgh, Honey Pie. It's now a Greek restaurant. It's pretty damn tasty, but. That's where I brought in that lamb stew the other day.
Okay.
That you were like, oh God, not more lamb.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. I didn't bring it in the studio though.
Yeah.
It was quite delicious. But there's a couple, what is it? Red Mill? Red Mill, I think, out in Newburgh, Dundee area.
No idea.
A hoity-toity sandwich and wood-fired pizza spot.
Yeah, I feel like wood-fire is more geared towards the hoity-toity.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a little pricier. There's probably like four or five of them within the Newburgh Dundee range, which this time of year, the dumb rich from the Northeast are flocking to as the vineyards start opening up for all of the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice when you see like a brand new like G-Wagon in succession with a Bugatti and like, you know, an S-Class AMG. And you're like, huh.
Yeah.
Don't usually see those out here on these crappy roads in 99 where if you hit one pothole, you can rip off your freaking bumper.
Got a lot of them, though.
Oh, dude. There's a guy who has a Bugatti Veyron who drives through Newburgh, and I'm like, why? Why would you do this?
Because you have enough money to?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it costs something like $2,000 to change the oil on a thing. Can you imagine just throwing away $2,000 to change the oil?
I mean, you've already spent $500,000 on the car. Yeah, I think it's a sliding scale of like how much we pay to change our oil. Yeah. It's the same ratio of what they actually. It's probably less.
Probably less. Yeah.
Of what they paid for their car to change the oil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was watching some guy change the oil on a Lambo the other day. There's 8 oil drain plugs.
Why?
To make sure you drain it all out. In all the various locations.
Do you think anybody changes their own oil on those cars?
Well, this guy did. That was the thing. He called a dealership for Lamborghini, and they were like, yeah, it's going to be $3,700. And he's like, yeah, no. But I think by doing it himself, I think he voids any and all warranties.
See, but that right there tells me that that man is not wealthy enough to own a Lamborghini.
Right?
Like, I don't know. If you get that kind of car, you better be ready to pay the kind of upkeep.
Yeah, they recorded the phone call to the parts department of like, yeah, I need to get an oil filter for this 2018, I think it was a Aventador. And they're like, what do you need one for? And they're like, oh, we're changing the oil. Like, they typically don't want you to do that. Like, change your own, like... Yeah. They're like, I think that might be a problem, but he ended up doing it, and I think between the filter and the oil ended up costing him like $300, as opposed to $3,700. He was like, yeah, it was worth it.
Now, I wonder if one of those, if you bought that car new, if that screws up any sort of your warranty.
That's what he said. Voided all the warranty. Oh,
gotcha.
It's all right.
Well, there we go.
It's all right.
Ryan, are you paying attention?
Nope.
Well, it's hard to hear when you're chomping on those crunchy grape nuts in there.
It's all you hear. Just the crunch of the grape nuts.
It's all that you hear. It takes up all your ear space. That is one thing about grape nuts, that it is hard to eat grape nuts because when you chew, it's like, I can't hear anything.
They're the original noise-canceling headphone.
Yeah. You're not wrong, man. You're not wrong.
New Haven-style pizza typically has garlic and clams. Do not put seafood on my pizza. Ever.
Is that true?
I do not want shrimp, lobster, clams, mussels, hell, even anchovies.
Hmm.
I've done it before.
Anchovies can go right to hell.
I've done anchovies before with a buddy of mine who loved them, and I let him get a pizza with it. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. And it was like, oh, God, that's strong.
The only acceptable form of an anchovy is in a Caesar dressing.
And even then, it's gotta be very little.
Yeah.
How can such a tiny little fish be so potent in flavor? Like, you can get a rockfish the size of
it's like a
Pepperidge Farm nose.
Yeah, you know.
It's like Manny Pacquiao. He's a little guy. Packs a punch, though.
Packs a little punch, though.
Yeah, he's got a big old right hook on him.
Seriously, you can catch a 50, 40-pound, whatever, 30-pound? I can't remember how big they are. Those rockfish, they're prevalent all over the Oregon coast. But there's almost no flavor to them.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Classic types. Now...
regional.
That texture is true and false. If you get the red sauce, no. But Pepe's restaurant in New Haven, Connecticut, he's credited with inventing the white clam pie.
Ugh.
So pizza crust of olive oil, oregano, grated cheese, chopped garlic, and fresh little neck clams. It was first served little neck clams on the half shell at the bar, which Pepe later added to the pizza. But if you get the tomato sauce on it, then you're going your pepperoni. Okay? But, so there is true and false in that.
Well, and then came in both on the text line and Brandon on the YouTube chat.
What do we got?
Altoona-style pizza is still worse than everything else.
What is that?
I Googled it, and it looks atrocious.
Hit me with it.
Okay, a unique pizza featuring a Sicilian-style dough, tomato sauce, sliced green peppers, salami, and a topping of American cheese. Now, that description does not even quite do the pictures of it justice.
Say that again?
Sicilian-style dough, tomato sauce, sliced green bell peppers, salami, and then topped with American cheese.
Gross.
Pizzas are typically cut into squares rather than wedges. Just give it a quick Google image, and you'll be even more grossed out.
All right.
It's awful.
Oh. Is this Altoona?
Yeah, that's really bad.
Originating in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. Awful. That looks like something that looks like some slop you would get in the elementary school cafeteria.
Yeah, dude, American cheese. Look, I'm pro-America.
Watch your mouth.
Look, if you're watching on YouTube, there's literally a sweatshirt behind me that says U.S. with an American flag on it. American cheese sucks.
You suck.
American cheese sucks.
It has its place.
In very few places.
It has its place.
Yeah.
That plastic nonsense, man, like almost everything.
It's the only one that'll give you that super good ooey gooey, though, on a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, or if you're making like a homemade fondue, you get some white American cheese blocks in there. It's got its place.
I'd still rather go pepper jack on the grilled cheese.
I love pepper jack. I'm pro pepper jack.
Pepper jack is my number one cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great cheese.
It's a fantastic cheese.
Yeah. It's two different kinds,
You
know? All right, St. Louis-style pizza, apparently it's like a cracker-like crust. Like, you want to talk about crispy crust? I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah, see?
No idea.
We're learning. All right. Radio? I can't believe... actually, I can. It wasn't the biggest leap that we've made going from the Pope to pizza.
Yeah, I mean, that's a straight line. Chicago? Yeah.
I mean, Chicago Pope.
Look, we didn't skip any steps there. Chicago pizza Pope. Like, that's a straight line.
That's it. All right.
Boy, that segment got away from us.
Basketball?
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, just like the game got away from the Celtics again, Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Well, the Celtics did it again. But this time they didn't miss 45 three-pointers. They blow another 20-point lead to the New York Knickerbockers. And this one was kind of eerily similar to the last one in that the guy who comes up with the final possession in the steal was Mikal Bridges. Just steals it.
Just saves it for the opportune moment. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if he does this in all four games, he may be like series MVP and not score very many points. But as it was last night, they didn't miss 45 threes, but they missed 30. So on the series, the Boston Celtics are now 25 of 100 from beyond the arc.
75 missed threes, an NBA record for two games.
Which could make the Timberwolves feel better.
Yeah, you know.
Because they were, what, 12 of 76?
Yeah.
And that was,
and that's,
like...
I mean, that's nothing. That's really grape nuts to...
Yeah,
Celtics have done.
Like 24 more threes to miss here. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I mean, if you ask the Rockets, it's capable of missing 27 straight.
Yeah, but 12 of 76 and you have to 24 to equal what the Celtics have done. They would have to have gone 13 of 24 to get to 25 of 100. The Timberwolves still
on pace.
Really bad.
On pace.
Really stinking bad at shooting three-pointers, but this was a horrific meltdown by the Celtics yet again. And there are a lot more questions than answers for Boston fans, because the last game it was, you make a couple threes here, you make a couple threes there, and things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when it happens again...
Uh-oh. Look, man, this game started and I went, oh, it's going to be like that. For those that don't know, the Boston Celtics came out of the gate and beat the ever-living crap out of the Knicks for the first, 8 minutes? I think they had 4 points in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, it was after one quarter, it was 24-13.
But they had 8 points in 8 minutes of action.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, sweet Jesus, this is going to be bad.
But what happened in the fourth quarter?
You got absolutely nothing from Boston and everything from the Knicks.
The Knicks are a diesel engine. They just warm up, they get revved up, and when they get humming, man, they are a tough team to stop.
Josh Hart was the guy in the boat with a bucket in each hand bailing water for three quarters. Because Jalen Brunson was cheeks for three quarters.
OG and Anobi was cheeks for a game.
No, they said, oh, that's right, OG can't go left, just play his right hand. That's how that went.
Adjustments.
But Brunson just... shot after shot after shot after shot in the fourth quarter. Him and Mikal Bridges showed up big time. And big, big, big hat tip to Tibbs. The thing he got criticized for, taking Mitchell Robinson off the floor and not making the team foul him and put yourself in the bonus, he looked at the Celtics and went, no. No, we're going to keep you on the floor. And the Celtics bought the bait and absolutely went brain neutral. You could see Tibbs was going to put OG back on the floor. But they were like, he's like, oh, no, they're going to be stupid. They're going to foul him. And they put the freaking Knicks in the bonus with 2:43 to go.
I would have fouled Mitchell Robinson after this.
Knicks since 2003. They only had 13, but they outscored Boston by two in the second quarter, and it was a 9-point game at the half with Boston out top as the...
Oh, my goodness.
Holy smokes.
Now you know why you wrap him up early?
Oh, no.
Whoa. As dazzling as that score was, this was just the opposite.
Happens, though.
No, it doesn't, Reggie. That was quite possibly the worst free throw attempt I've ever seen in my life.
I've seen some pretty egregious ones.
The net didn't even move.
Yeah.
Airballed it so badly, the net didn't even move.
We've seen Shaq do that a few times. We saw Dwight do that a few times. Remember, that's where Hack a Shaq came from.
Golly,
Mitch is a 52% career free throw shooter, so he's actually not the worst free throw shooter we've ever seen. He's down there. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, you see the volatility there. But the Celtics did what the Thunder did, in a sense of like, why are you not running clock? Why are you like intentionally fouling? You're putting the Knicks in the bonus, because that was the thing, is they were at two fouls when they fouled Rich Robinson twice, and then Tibbs goes, okay, now I can take him off, because they weren't in the bonus yet. If you're going to do that, you got to do that 3 minutes earlier.
Yeah, you have to be in the bonus. Like, so you do send that guy to the free throw line. They were fouling him. They could have fouled anybody. They could have fouled anybody on the floor, but they didn't. Like, it was, Joe Mazzulla is not getting nearly enough of the blame because Jason Tatum is.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear what Joe Mazzulla said about the Mitchell Robinson fouls?
I think we have.
Do we have it?
No. I don't know which one it is.
Okay. Well, long and short of it was he wanted to get Mitchell Robinson off the floor because he was such an impact.
But well, he was.
But here's the thing: if you were the Celtics, what is your team set up to do? Is it set up to neutralize a heavy-footed rim protector who wants to stay in drop coverage?
No.
Isn't that the guy that you want on the floor?
Yeah, I think it is.
So why the hell are you trying to get him off the floor? I don't care how much impact he's having. Your team, your identity, everything you were set up to do is to keep that dude on the floor as long as possible so you can mercilessly hunt him. That's them admitting that they can't do it.
Mitchell Robinson, though, is plus 32 through two games. Plus minus. That's like, he is...
Oh, yeah, no, he's been incredibly impactful.
He has been incredible. So but the idea to get him off the floor is sound. The execution is poor because he's kind of doing everything else to kind of to keep the Knicks in the game. Look, outside of that, there needs to be this come to Jesus moment that the Boston Celtics have of, hey, guys, take ball to rim.
Mm-hmm.
Don't and drive kick, drive kick. Yes, that is what we do. But you guys are still talented enough, especially the Jays, to get to the rim. Get to the rim. Do it. Why are we not even seeing that? It's wild.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
And that to me is where Joe Mazzulla needs to get a little bit more of the criticism, because it's just sloppy right now all the way around. And
they're having an identity crisis. If you're worried again, yes, Mitchell Robinson has been impactful, but your team is set up.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity is set up to take advantage of him and his prototype as a player. If you are not fundamentally executing that, that is a major problem, and that is a huge reason why they are down 2-0, because they're having an identity crisis. They are not able to be who they want to be with him on the floor, but yet they're designed to be the most effective with a player like him on the floor. That is just two things going against each other that don't make sense, and if the Celtics can't solve for that, they're screwed.
Kristaps Porzingis not being available really at all is also an issue, and this is the weirdest illness. You brought this up yesterday. He got sick in March and came back. He's played, and now it's back again.
He can't get his wind.
But
like, he can't breathe. Like,
but how? But why? Like, this is why it's so weird. It's like, why now?
Yeah, it's
You were fine in the last round.
I guess he was fighting it, is what I've heard from Celtics media. But it's like it's getting worse. Like. That's scary. As a human, like, take the basketball out of it.
Scary.
It is. It's like, this is a very big guy with a very big set of lungs, man. Like, that's...
It's weird.
Yeah, it's not great.
And that obviously hurts them. That hurts them big time. All right, let's get to the winners of this, though. Everybody is saying, talking about the defending champs, the Boston Celtics, rightfully so. But the New York Knicks are finding ways to win, and Tibbs is doing an incredible job. That after Rust with SportsCenter.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's something wrong with the Boston Celtics, but there's something really right with the New York Knicks. They have this ability to just come back and never be out of a game. They're fighters, man. Just like they're in the embodiment of what Tibbs is. And you wonder if and when they are going to run out of gas with Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges each playing 43 minutes, Jalen Brunson playing 38 minutes. But until it happens, they're just going to ride this high, man. They are playing at an unbelievable clip, especially in late-game situations.
They are, and I was just looking at this. According to Second Spectrum, I just tweeted this out if you want to get the numbers for it and keep track of it. Jalen Brunson leads the NBA playoffs in drives. 150. 150 drives total in the playoffs. Now, they've played more games, but with those, he is averaging 1.129 points per direct. That is the 77th percentile. So he's in the upper quarter while also leading the league in drives. So that's wildly efficient and wildly a wild amount of volume. If you look at Tatum and Brown, they are both sub 50th percentile. Jason Tatum, sub 40th percentile.
Well, wouldn't that, is that just finishing stats or... I mean,
this is points
when
per,
you're
this is,
when you drive and then you kick.
Yeah, that's
well,
both.
Duh, they missed 75 3-pointers, and that's not necessarily on them.
No, and I can flip it over to them on drives, though. They're still falling behind, and the Knicks aren't cranking out threes at a historic volume. It's not like Cat has gotten really crazy. Now, OG has had a couple of games on some driving kicks where he's been really successful. Obviously, not last night. But what the Knicks have done, and we talked about this after game one, yes, the Knicks still run some drop coverage. But they're doing the thing that, quote-unquote, Boston fans and media are like, oh, yeah, hunt Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson's just switching. They're switching with Jalen Brunson. They're switching with everybody. There's also there's something I want to dive
that's
into.
That's where, like, Porzingis would make such a big difference. Mm-hmm.
But if that's if one guy is making that much of a difference for what you're trying to do, how flawed are you? And, no, again, better players, not having better players. We're seeing it with the Cleveland Cavaliers, not having Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. Like, but that's two all-stars and a sixth man of the year candidate.
Yeah.
This is the fifth guy that you're counting on.
Yeah, they're also missing 75 threes in two games.
And that part of it is huge. But I want to give the Knicks credit here because not only are they switching, there has been this discussion around the NBA, much very similar to the NFL 5-6 years ago, when the offense got stretched to such a point in the NFL that you looked at it and you went, okay, the defense has got to find a way to push back. So we started seeing more three high, keeping everything in front of you, making teams drive down the field more. And you saw the pendulum started to shift back to the defense controlling things because big plays just weren't as prolific. You see teams are starting to run the ball and be more physical as the counter to that. Well, in the NBA, there's been this like, okay, we have this proliferation of threes and the space and pace and five out offenses, all these different kind of things. But how can the defense, like, what is the defensive innovation that can kind of cause us to swing back? And in the late 90s, early 2000s, when you went into a zone defense, the problem was these teams that were still running two bigs. If you went zone, the thing you were giving up is probably the offensive glass and your ability to rotate correctly and where you could get beat. How many teams in the NBA right now can spread you out and beat you on the offensive glass?
Well, we saw Denver do it.
To an extent.
Well, they were crushing threes and then had 21 offensive boards. Golden State can do that to you.
If they hit threes, but without Steph, it's...
Well, I mean, but that
they can.
They do. Yeah. That's their identity.
But they go small when they do it. They don't go big.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, right now, if you don't have Porzingis and Horford spaced out there and Sam Hauser spaced out there, like you look at this, all of a sudden, playing zone doesn't hurt you as much. And so and it's not just a straight up 2-3 or a 1-3-1. There's these kind of amorphous zones where you're it's not anything really new. It's just kind of becoming more in vogue where you have a zone, but you're not going to let Peyton Pritchard rip through the zone on like an Iverson cut and not pass him off and pick him up. You know, when you've got a prolific 3-point shooter, you're going to slide the zone a little bit and you're just going to live and die with the lesser 3-point option while you control the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing these different kind of things that, look, Tibbs has his faults of playing guys too long and maybe not calling a timeout or, you know, being a little rigid on adjustments. Defensively, Tibbs isn't weak there. That's what Tibbs does. And he is saying, you know what? Screw it. We got Mikal Bridges. We got OG Anunoby. We've got real size. We're going to rely on what we have. And if they beat us with what we've got, tip your cap to them and go on.
Yeah.
We're going to switch. We're going to take them away from what they want to do and make them as uncomfortable as we can and not stay rigid to our defensive principles of just like, no, we're a drop team. And it has flustered the Celtics. And the one button that Joe Mazz can push is play better. That's the button they need to push because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have just been not good.
Well, yeah, and it's in part of that is go to the rim. Don't just look to kick out.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
you've got to become a rim, not even just a rim pressure team. You've got to be a paint finishing team.
Especially when you get up 20.
Twice. Look, there was two times in that game, in the first quarter. And then I want to say early in the third, I looked at my wife. I'm like, all right, I'm going to the office. I'll keep the game on in front of me because I've got the three monitor system, and I started watching film on prospects for the lottery and everything else, and then I slowly started moving from that monitor back to the game monitor, going, okay, back to the living room we go, and it's like in the past, you know, Jason Tatum hits a step back three when they're up 11, they're up 12, in the you know. TD Garden goes nuts, and it's them stepping on your throat, and it's like, oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. They haven't done that once this series.
Crazy.
And it's think about this now. With the Knicks stealing both games, the Celtics have to win 4 out of 5 to win the series.
And they are still favored to win the series.
Which is crazy. Considering what we've seen in these two games, and yes, the volatility of getting two 20-point leads, but they've shown they can't protect it.
Odds to win the series. Series open, Celtics -750.
Which is actually lower than I thought it would have.
After two games, it has dropped to New York -105, Boston -115, which means in Vegas's eyes, they feel that the Celtics have a 53% chance of winning the series.
And that's because the Celtics still have game 7 home. That's why.
Crazy to think about, though.
Think about it, though. The Celtics have to win 4 out of 5. The Knicks have to win 2 out of 5.
Yep. But they won 0 out of 4 in the regular season.
That's and yep. It's it there.
All right. When art imitates life, a little bit too close. Danny Dusty on the Fan. When art imitates life, Danny. We are still waiting on where Aaron Rodgers is going to play.
Indeed.
And as everything has gone on with Aaron Rodgers over the last few years, my wife and I are doing a rewatch of the show Ted Lasso.
Mm.
And it is eerily similar. Just everybody go and watch season 3 of Ted Lasso. You see, they have a player on there named Zava.
Mm.
Okay. He's molded, and the character is based off of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, right? You know, the
Zlatan.
The Zlatan.
Yeah.
Who played for the Galaxy? Is that who he played for when he came over?
Well, yeah, Taylor and his crew.
Yeah. When he came over the American tour. But when you watch Ted Lasso now and you see the way that Zava handles everything, oh my goodness, it is eerily similar to Aaron Rodgers. One, he looks like Aaron Rodgers. Two, he's doing a lot of the same things where he delays his announcement of where he's going. I could totally see this happening. In the show Ted Lasso, Zava, he goes to one team, he goes to Chelsea to make his announcement. And then while he's at the Chelsea game, he commits to go and play for West Ham and then ultimately changes his mind. So when they go to announce him at Chelsea, he goes, I'm going to Richmond. And so he ends up playing for Ted Lasso, which is a total non-fit, a la Aaron Rodgers probably going and playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you're like, this does not fit. This does not seem like it is a good fit whatsoever. He says things like when he meets the owner, it's an honor for you to meet me.
Yeah.
100%. The team has no idea what he's doing or where he's going until he does an interview with somebody. Pat McAfee.
Yep. Perfect. Perfect.
He disappears into retirement to go and take and tend to his avocado farm. Mm-hmm. You tell me that
avocado,
that's not Aaron Rodgers.
Ayahuasca.
He has a locker where he takes up the entire corner of a locker room, which most stars do.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
But he does yoga, burns incense, and has a bell or a gong that he can hit in there.
Oh, perfect.
I'll be damned. If you don't watch that show and you don't think that's Aaron Rodgers, there's something wrong with you. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, go and just Google Zava, Z-A-V-A, and Aaron Rodgers. There are side-by-side pictures of it. It's uncanny.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like, we do the whole Simpsons predicting the future thing.
This is Ted Lasso doing it.
Because that final season was in 2023.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the start of Aaron Rodgers and we going into darkness retreats.
The descent,
and,
as it were.
Yeah, ayahuasca trips and all that stuff. That man is Zava.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I have got a certain love and penchant for Zlatan. Do you remember the World Cup commercials?
No.
Oh, you don't remember those? The Nike commercials? Oh, God, they were fantastic. And it was very much this. Like, oh, what a pleasure it must be for you to meet me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Zlatan does as the Zlatan does. Zlatan has done that his whole life. Like, it wasn't like a switch that flipped. Aaron's is a switch that flipped. It's a little bit like Zlatan was about that life wholly, totally.
Yeah, that's who he was.
Always.
It was the whole time.
That ego was what made him great. His first, do you know what his first touch was as an MLS player?
No.
The first time he touched a ball.
Danny, I'm going to go ahead and say, if you ask me an MLS question, the answer is no.
His first touch, first time he touched a ball in game action in the MLS was on a half volley where he scored from about 45 yards out. Absolutely hammered into the upper third.
I don't know what a half volley is.
So on the bounce.
All right.
So it bounced once and then took it. On the volley is as it's coming in, you
sure
strike it.
Sweet.
But, like, his greatness, he is greatness personified. Like, he could back it up with just unreal, uncanny ability.
Yeah, so can Aaron Rodgers.
So can Aaron.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to kind of watch how this whole thing develops. Because we talked about this the other day. Art Rooney just keeps saying, yeah, it sounds like Aaron's going to come to Pittsburgh. And I'm like, God, you're basing an awful lot like it sounds like.
He's going to go on the McAfee show and be like, everybody's going to be like, oh, he's going to Pittsburgh, he's going to Pittsburgh, he's going to Pittsburgh. And he's going to be like, I'm going to New Orleans. And we're all going to be like, what? 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 Why? I can just, it's so weird. Go watch Ted Lasso season 3. You can see the Zava and you will see Aaron Rodgers in him. It's wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
No doubt about it.
Everything. And then he'll retire by announcing it to the media that he's going to tend to his avocado farm.
Mm.
Because I bet he has an avocado farm.
I mean, he's a California kid.
Bet he has an avocado farm.
What is it, the jingle, Avocados from Mexico?
Avocados from Mexico.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
They also grow in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
They do.
Pretty close to Mexico.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Big state, but still pretty close.
All right, so let's get to the other game of the NBA schedule last night.
Holy crap.
Home team finally won!
It was historic.
Home team finally won! Danny and Dusty on the Fan.